Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. You may be seated. Almighty God, be present with us in the preaching of your word. We may hear among these words and our reflections your word offered for us on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've shared this story with you before, but it's the experience I most connect with a time in my life when I realized that I was blind. I was having one of those days, I'm sure you've probably had one, where nothing seems to go right, where people seem to be coming at you from all sides, where you can't get all the stuff done that you need to get done. And it was a Thursday, and I was not at all ready for the worship service I was going to be leading that night with the homeless community. And at 5 o'clock, right before I was finally getting to sit down and figure things out for the service, I got a phone call from my van driver. Something had come up, and he wasn't going to be able to drive. So I had to stop what I was doing and what I desperately needed to be doing and get the van keys and do it myself. And as I was making my rounds to the local homeless shelters to pick up folks who would come to our service, I wasn't in a very good mood. I had nothing nice to say to those who were getting on the van. I just wanted to get there. I kept my hands right on the wheel. I dared anyone to get in my way. Pity the driver who tried to cut me off. I was driving too slowly. And I pulled up at the women's shelter. And a woman I'd never seen before jumped in the front seat next to me. From the moment she told me her name was Tessa, she didn't stop talking. She told me about a cat she had as a child. She told me about the things she had made in her sewing class that day. She kept asking me questions, but she never gave me time to answer. I figured she was bipolar and was definitely having a manic phase. She wasn't helping my mood. And there were moments when I gave serious thought, I really did give this thought, to stopping the van and getting out and just running away. And I was so relieved when we finally got back to the church, and as we were walking inside for the service, Tessa said in her bouncy mood, "I love to sing, can I sing tonight?" I was just imagining the disaster that might befall us, and I muttered under my breath, "We'll see if we have time." Somehow we made it through the service without too much disruption, and we came to our open prayer time, which we had every week. And I was listening as our community was saying the same prayers that were said each week. I listened to Gary when he said, "Please pray for Pastor Laura and my family." And in my grumpy state, I really wasn't too happy to be considered part of Gary's family. I listened to Sandra. She prayed for a fresh start, and all I could think about was how sure I was she would start drinking again. And then I heard Tessa, this woman who had been driving me crazy in the van, and I heard Tessa pray, "God, please help me when I get out of here. of a sudden it hit me like a slap in the face. I felt it. And I knew how blind I was, and I knew how ungrateful I was, and I knew what a sinner I was. And as an atonement for my sin, I stopped what I was doing. And I said, "We have a special treat for our worship service tonight. Tessa, who's new to our community, wants to sing." And she jumped out of her seat and she made her way to the front, and guess what she sang? "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, story we heard earlier is about the healing of a blind man, but it's not really clear in the story who is blind and who can see. You would think it's obvious, but it's not. This is the last healing story in Mark's gospel. It's the conclusion of Jesus' Galilean ministry when he and the disciples have been traveling around the countryside teaching and healing. And from this point, Jesus' journey is taking a definite shift toward Jerusalem and the confrontation with the religious and governmental authorities that will ultimately lead to his crucifixion. He's really been trying to prepare his disciples for this journey. Three times he's spoken about his upcoming passion. Three times the disciples have demonstrated their blindness. The first time, Peter tried to get Jesus to just shut up about it. "It can't be true," Peter says to Jesus. The second time, nobody says anything. They try to ignore it. The third time, if you remember from last week, it's James and John who respond to this proclamation by trying to get in line for their own glory. They're blind. They can't see. Or maybe they don't want to. And then we have this blind man. Unusually, he has a name, Bartimaeus. Don't think it's a coincidence that Mark has placed this story at this important time of transition. He very clearly wants to talk about blindness and not just in the physical sense. In many ways, Bartimaeus and my eye-opening friend Tessa could have been kindred spirits. Since in Jesus' day it was assumed that a person's blindness was some kind of judgment from God, those with any kind of infirmity were often ostracized from the community, and I'm not sure that we've made a lot of progress in that way. In Jesus' day, they were considered unclean. Nobody wanted to touch them, be near them, but they had to have some way to survive. And so they would sit along the busy streets and in the marketplaces, and they would beg, completely dependent on the kindness of strangers. I imagine that Bartimaeus was well known, and it seems like he was kind of an obnoxious beggar. And we don't know what led him to cry out to Jesus. You would have thought he would have been more focused on these crowds that were gathered around him. A huge crowd would offer more possibilities for support. But his concentration is on one thing. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowds try to get him to shut up. They don't want Jesus to be bothered by him. He has more important things to do. But the more they tell Bartimaeus to be quiet, the louder he gets. Talk about annoying. But Jesus has a very different way. We're told that he stands still. In the midst of this throng of people who are reaching for him, I'm sure the blind man wasn't the only one who was making noise. In the middle of this turn he has started to make toward Jerusalem, when he will be facing those who seek his life, with everything that's pulling at him, everyone who is pulling at him, Jesus stands still. For someone everyone else is trying to silence. And it makes me wonder, how many times do we get in the way of those who are seeking Jesus? And then Jesus asks the man a question. What do you want me to do for you? There's real dignity and respect in that question. Just because the man is blind, Jesus does not assume that is why this man is seeking his help. And that can be another challenge for us, can it? How many times do we assume we know what people need? And our assumptions can lead them to feel looked down upon or powerless. What Jesus does is enter into relationship with Bartimaeus, invites him in the conversation, gives him a role in his own healing. Bartimaeus wants to see. And in Jesus' response to him and his response to Jesus, we are given a picture of what real sight looks like. Jesus tells him his faith has made him well. There's nothing Jesus has to do to give him the miracle of sight. He doesn't touch him. And as soon as Bartimaeus realizes he can see, he responds by following Jesus. He stays with Jesus along the way, and I bet he knows where that path is going. This healing that Bartimaeus has experienced not only restores his physical sight, it changes the way he sees everything. You could say that he now sees the world through Jesus-colored glasses. He's showing us how to be a true disciple. He starts with Jesus. He trusts in Jesus. And he's able to see, not only in the practical sense, but in the spiritual sense. Everything in his life is changing because he now follows Jesus with every step of his life. So what would it mean for us to see everything with Jesus-colored glasses? Today is Commitment Sunday. We're being invited to consider ways that we can walk with Jesus by walking with the church, by making investments with our giving, with our energy, with our time, as we here at Broadway seek to create a space and a place where not only we, but others, especially those who are crying out for help, especially those who aren't here right now, but who are longing for a faith community, a place where people can find Jesus and receive the healing that they need. So how can we tell if we're blind or if we can see? It really is something we can see in our money. The way we spend our money really does give a picture of what is important to us and what we're invested in. As an example, the headline for a recent Washington Post article I came across was, Americans are spending more on health care, seems obvious, for their pets. $15 billion in 2017. And the total estimated spending on our pets, including food and toys and everything else, $70 billion for 2018. More and more, we're spending as much on our pets' care as we do on our own and on our kids. And interestingly enough, with the recent Powerball $1 billion lottery craze, we also spent over $70 billion on lottery tickets in 2017. Now, I love our dog. And maybe winning the lottery is just a game. There does seem to be some blindness on our part. When we compare the $70 billion number with the estimated 45.6 million people in the United States who don't have health care, with the 40 million people, including 12 million children in America, who struggle with hunger, and with the 500,000 people in America who are homeless. So if we looked at our own spending through these Jesus-colored glasses, what would we see? What are we investing in? What are we giving that is serving not only our own needs, but the needs of others? Today provides an opportunity to make a statement about how I want to give in service to others. And how would trying to look at the world through Jesus-colored glasses change the way we spend our time and our energy? What of myself am I committing to others? How can you tell from my calendar whether I am a follower of the Jesus way? Is there time spent in prayer, worship? Is there time spent in serving others? Today we have that opportunity to make a statement about how we want to give our time and our energy to serve God and to serve others. Looking beyond today, how would trying to look at the world through Jesus-colored glasses change the way I look at and listen to my neighbor? Who is the Bartimaeus who's making noise in our community? Instead of just wanting them to be quiet, maybe we need to listen to where their cries are coming from. We might need to stand still, like Jesus did, and pay closer attention, instead of rushing to assumptions or judgment. And my goodness, how would trying to look at the world through Jesus-colored glasses change our approach to this polarization, this violence, this fear-driven rhetoric that surrounds us? Recent pipeline threats, these shootings at a place of worship show us this is not just rhetoric. I'm not just talking about what we're seeing on the political front and from those in leadership. We all do it. We're all buying into it. We're all participating in it, from the way we have conversations, the way we make judgments, we decide who we're going to listen to and who we're going to surround ourselves with. These disciples demonstrated over and over they were blind. They didn't want to talk about what they would need to give up. They didn't want to consider anything beyond their own needs, and they didn't want to pay attention to the cries that were coming from their neighbors. They were blind. Their blindness is not just about judgment. It's also about what they missed. At least in this moment, they missed a gift of healing. They missed a possibility for peace. They missed the joy that comes from discipleship. So what would we say if Jesus asked us, what do you want me to do for you? Do we want to be made well? Are we ready to follow Jesus? Yes, Commitment Sunday is something the church needs. It really does help to know what people hope and plan to give as we are making plans for what we hope and plan for Broadway in the months ahead. But Commitment Sunday is also a way we put in writing, we share in the context of a community of faith, a step to take, to put on our Jesus-colored glasses, and to follow this Jesus way. Jesus knows, we know, just be mindful of those Jesus color glasses and what things look like when we look at the world and try to look at the world through your eyes. We pray that we can make a difference. We see more and more how much our world needs your way. A way of mercy, a way of love, a way of peace. Maybe you haven't realized before how radical that is. We just pray you'll help us to be people of your way. Before all and in all. In Jesus' name we pray.